And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. I mean, this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I just caught myself in the camera looking over like I was straining as I said those words. Mississippi! All right, hey, listen, it's that time, man. You know the deal. At least once a week, sometimes twice. I'm going through the resourcing of the show, doing all I can to bring you quality in terms of heavily resourced dippers, occasional sidebars, content that beats any other show on the air. And in doing so, every once in a while, I find myself scooping together what I would call a buffet of wokeness, a vast cornucopia, if you will, a plethora of wokeness, some that makes you laugh, some makes you just roll your eyes, others make you want to throw your radio. We call it Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
All right, Adventures in Woke World. Where to begin? Oh, Lord, have I got the paper. All right, here. Let's see. Let's pick one. Here's one for you. Boomer, you might want your mic on for this one, brother. I know you've been kind of quieter the last couple of days dealing with the back pain, but I'm going to need you in here for this.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, banter with me. You ready? Adventures in Woke World, number one, a story that came out yesterday afternoon. Anheuser-Busch, the whole Bud Light thing, Dylan Mulvaney, right?
There we go.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't do it.
Sales are in the tank. Like, you go woke, you go broke.
Absolutely. It's all over. You can't miss it.
Yeah. Or it's not all over.
Right.
You might be tickled to know that Anheuser-Busch just won the Creative Marketer of the Year award for the second year in a row at the Advertising Industry's annual awards show.
Really?
Yeah. Creative Marketer. That's creative. Here's an idea.
Oh, wow.
Can you give an award for how quickly can you sink your brand?
That would be it.
This is like, what would we call it? The Torpedo Award? Just, how? Anheuser-Busch, Creative Marketer of the Year, Chief Marketing Officer Marcel Marcon, accepted the award Monday at the Cannes. They go to Cannes, France, to receive their award. This is epic.
Wow.
I mean, the layers of wokeness in this one story. Now, I will say, to their credit, if you can give credit here, the prize was announced on March 16th, which was several weeks prior to the Dylan Mulvaney controversy arising. But somewhere in there, you think that just, I don't know.
Can they rescind it?
That's what I was going to say. Somewhere in there, you'd think that somebody would go, yeah, fellas, let's don't incur the headlines involved with accepting this award.
Right.
Let's just, can you mail it to us?
We don't really want to pick this up.
Yeah. We'd rather not have the photo op, if you know what I'm saying. Just mail it to us. Anheuser-Busch announced a summer marketing campaign, though, to try and, quote, reconnect with their customers. That's a clear indication right there. They got issues if they're having to work to reconnect.
Reconnect. Mm. Come on, guys. We promise we're okay now.
Yeah. We're not the ones we were last week.
Yep.
Sales of Bud Light, Budweiser, and other Anheuser-Busch brands continue to suffer. But they won the Creative Marketer of the Year award. For the love. If that's not working inside a bubble, I don't know what is. You know?
Yeah, who decided on that award, does it say?
Well, somebody who contacted Marcel Marcon to tell him that he should fly to Cannes and receive his festival award. Okay, next thing I got, Adventures in Woke World. San Francisco continues to go into that toilet bowl spiral. And it's a crying shame, by the way. San Francisco's a beautiful city. So much to offer. And there's still a lot of good people that live there. But you talk about suffering for lack of leadership. My gosh. But here's a story off the Daily Wire, dated yesterday. AT&T closing its flagship store in downtown San Francisco, becoming the latest major retailer to abandon the city's troubled downtown. They don't want... Listen, they're saying that... I actually saw one article that said that San Francisco is what they call a death spiral right now. And when you say that, what happens is it's picking up steam. People don't want to be downtown, so businesses close downtown. So other businesses that relied upon those businesses leave downtown. And the next thing you know, the ones that are left, they just want to work at home. They don't want to come downtown. And so the office spaces are now empty, and you can't find tenants to replace the ones who don't want to be there anymore. And then the restaurants who used to cater to the downtown crowd have nobody coming for lunch. And so what do? You're in a downtown death spiral. AT&T closing its flagship store in downtown San Francisco, becoming the latest major retailer to abandon the city's troubled downtown. Here's a quote from the company spokesperson, trying to do their best to gloss it over. Well, consumer habits, shopping habits continue to change, and we're changing with them. That means serving our customers where they are through the right mix of retail stores, digital channels, and phone-based care team. Read between the lines. We don't want to be downtown San Francisco anymore. That's what we're seeing. If it was just them,
If it was just them, then it'd be like, okay, maybe it is. But AT&T. Everyone's leaving.
Not just everyone, all God's children, everyone are leaving. Yeah. It says a string of major retailers have closed their downtown San Francisco locations. You've got Westfield Mall said it's going to actually turn over its downtown mall to its lender. In other words, they're just letting it go into foreclosure. They're not even going to pretend. They don't want to even own their mall anymore in the downtown San Francisco area. Challenging operating conditions in downtown San Francisco have led to declines in sales, occupancy, and foot traffic, they say. Last month, Nordstrom decided to close its location, citing unsafe conditions and a lack of enforcement against rampant criminal activity. In April, Whole Foods closed in downtown San Francisco. And a source said that was because of drug use and criminal activity in and around the store. Park Hotels and Resorts said it has stopped making payments on its $725 million mortgage for its Hilton San Francisco Union Square and Park 55 hotels. Two major hotels, $725 million mortgage. They would rather just go ahead and let it go back to the lender and foreclose than to make the payments on it.
That's bad.
$725 million in mortgage, and they're going to take the hit. They're just willing to take the hit and get out of there. 352 companies, including Tesla and Oracle, have moved out of California since 2018. Walgreens closed 5 locations due to, quote, organized retail crime. That's organized retail crime. That's where it's in. All right. San Francisco, murders up 10%. Robberies are up 15%. Car thefts are up 5%. San Francisco, just in 2022, saw 620 fatal drug overdoses. It's rampant. So all said and done, you put woke policies in place, you can look at the death spiral of San Francisco as the example of what can happen. Wow. I mean,
hasn't this started happening? Yes, it was in San Francisco, but wasn't it in a couple other cities? Was it Portland?
Oh, yeah, Portland, big time.
Yeah.
And Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
The left coast better get its act together or it's going to wind up. Everybody's going to be sort of vacating the downtown areas. You're going to have these high-rise deserts where no one wants to live there. And I saw an article. Where was that? Was it in that same article? You and I were talking earlier as I was researching my notes.
Oh, was it about the
homeless?
Yes.
So, all right. You and I are sitting right now in – look up real quick what the population of Gadsden is.
All right.
My recollection was it was somewhere between 39 and 40,000. So the city of Gadsden in Alabama, Etowah County being one of the most populated counties in northeast Alabama, what's the population of Gadsden?
The one I found was 2021, 33,769.
33,000?
In Gadsden.
Oh, Alabama. Wow. That's smaller than I thought it was. Okay, so Gadsden proper. That's the city limits of Gadsden. I mean, you still got Rainbow City, Atala, all the others around it. But anyway, Gadsden proper, population 33,000?
33,000, almost 34.
Okay. San Francisco has a homeless population of 38,000 people.
Wow. So that's literally our city right now.
It's bigger than our city.
Yeah, bigger than us.
That's 5,000 more than our city. That's like Gadsden and Rainbow City combined almost.
I mean, that puts it in perspective.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Whoa.
38,000 homeless people in the San Francisco area alone. One-third of all homeless people in the nation are in California.
So when these hotels and everything, they decide to foreclose, is everybody just going to move in?
I don't know. I mean, there's a heck of a homeless shelter.
Wow.
I mean, what do you do with that? Get a state contract, make it Section 8 housing, and do the best you can. I don't know. I'll tell you what they ought to do. Vote the suckers out and get some people in there who will actually enforce the laws, clean up the streets, stop giving away free needles, and basically restore the city to what it could be. And that can be done, by the way, if there's enough will in the leadership. You can look at New York City. Here's an example. New York City, back in, where was it? What year was Giuliani in office? It doesn't matter. Bottom line is New York City was a cesspool, much like what San Francisco is right now. And Rudy Giuliani came in and cleaned that place up. His administration put policies in place that a lot of people didn't like and some still complain about. But guess what? Times Square was back. You know, the Big Apple was back. And right now, the Big Apple's in decline again. Yeah. Okay. Adventures in Woke World. You can see what woke policies do to municipalities like San Francisco. How about this, though? Here's a total change of subject. So Donald Trump, he's got his legal issues going on right now. He had his arraignment in Miami recently. They didn't allow cameras in, which they shouldn't. So the usual thing, the old school way, sketch artists getting in there, you know, doing the pencils quick as they can, getting all the color. How do they do that? It's amazing. Well, the artist, according to the Newsmax, Dateline yesterday, the sketch artist who did the courtroom is criticized for his portrayal of Trump. You can't win. I mean, this is like woke out the wazoo right now. You can't win. So the bottom line is the guys, you draw it then. You know what? If you're gonna be criticizing to the point that you're critiquing, well, he made Trump look too good. Shut up. Maybe the lighting was good. I don't know. The artist who sketched Donald Trump's arraignment early this month in Miami responded to criticisms that he depicted the former president as younger and more physically fit than he really is. Telling the Boston Globe he wasn't trying to make Trump look better. His name's William Hennessy. He's one of three sketch artists who attended the arraignment. He says, I don't editorialize. I just draw what I see. Adding that his time in the courtroom was a pretty stressful long day. Critics said the portrayals of Trump by Hennessy were wildly inaccurate. One Twitter user complained, it looked as if he was going off a 40-year-old photo of Trump. Stop it. Listen, you can't let Trump derangement syndrome consume everything for the love. The reality is this. You can't draw any better, so shut up. Adventures in Woke World. I got a caller on the line. Tell you what, we got to go to a break, though, Boom. If you'll tell him to hold on during the break, that'd be good. Do that, and we will jump to a break. Come right back. I can see the phones are ringing. We'll take them, and oh, my gosh. What happened to the text lines? I may have to have that explosion sound effect when we get back. All right, listen. Y'all stay tuned. We got more Adventures in Woke World. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, I got a caller held on during the break, so I want to honor their time. Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan, what are you up to, man?
Well, right now I'm in the middle of, instead of oatmeal raisin praline cookies, I'm making oatmeal praline Heath bar crumbled up in raisin cookies.
That is like, I'm writing this down because that's like an epic combination right there.
Yeah, no raisins. Just instead of raisins, it's a Heath bar. Crumbled up, stick it in, it's delicious.
I would not say that the Heath bar is a direct correlation to the raisin, like a substitute. You just went ahead and just jerked one out and threw another thing in altogether.
That, you know what? Any good cook has a basic recipe for everything they cook well. And then all it is subtraction and add to it. Now, also something you add to is a D next to a representative or an R next to a representative or an I for independent. So this is your modern Democrat these days, okay? You got a pervert smoking crack pipe has a child out of wedlock. His daddy don't even want the little girl, and she can't even claim a grandfather because he's so sad he doesn't want her. The father doesn't want her. And that guy has a bank statement a mile long with his corruption. He's got a D next to his name, okay? And then his son's getting off free bird, okay? Not the song. We're talking about what's happening. Now, with that said, that's a D in front of their name. Now, there's another person with his last name is Newsom. He's got a D next to his name. And you just rattled off a bunch of stuff that just about, I almost fell to my, it almost blew me over. I could not believe what I'm hearing. But he gets on a national Fox with Sean Hannity and lies through his teeth with his hair slicked back with that Grecian 45 crap and his big ass smile, big teeth, blue eyes. He looks great. Yeah, but you know what? He's a snake dressed in a dress shirt and a pair of pants.
I don't disagree with the thing you just said. I mean, that was – thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, Wolverine Dan, I mean, you're right. When you're right, you're right.
Well, yeah, I'm right, but, you know, I don't want to be right. Phil, please. Phil, I'm just an old – guess I'm a dinosaur, okay? But I believe in honesty. I believe in hard work, truthful, help your fellow man. Believe in God and believe in Jesus died for my sins, and I'm a sinner just like everybody else is, but not like these guys. These are mega sinners we're talking about. But I'm telling you, Phil, please, this country's begging. The only reason why I think Trump is doing still as well as he is because he showed us what prosperity could be for everyone. That's one of the reasons why he's still in the race. And that's what we need to get back to. Plus, we need to get back to some moral values and be honest and do the right thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'll tell you, I add one more piece to what I think Trump showed us was he was willing to go to bat. I mean, you could say whatever you wanted to, and he would still be at bat the next moment you looked. All right, Wolverine Dan, we appreciate you, man. Go bake some cookies.
I'm in the middle of it right now.
See all you. Right, see you, bud. I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, look at the level of disparity there. And that was not really a woke world segment. That was more like railing back against the thing we just had. Well, I guess it was. That was straight off of the piece I had there about San Francisco falling apart and every business in the world trying to vacate the downtown area. So, yeah. But I'm just telling you, folks, Adventures in Woke World is going to continue past the top of the hour. Let me give you one more, though. One more. So Adventures in Woke World, take this one from Breitbart. Dated yesterday, 21 people shot at Juneteenth celebrations in Illinois where they have gun control laws. Did you hear that happening in Alabama where we have not just open carry but permitless carry now? Did you hear that in this state? No. What you got here, Breitbart reporting, 21 people were shot, one of them fatally, at a Juneteenth celebration this past weekend. CNN reported the shooting occurred in a parking lot in Willowbrook, about 21 miles west of Chicago. And listen to this. Illinois has a red flag law, an assault weapons ban, a high-capacity magazine ban, a 72-hour waiting period, and a gun owner licensing requirement via the firearm owner's identification card system. And I bet they also don't allow reciprocity with our concealed carry permits from Alabama and other states. They got all those gun control laws in place. And the woke policies are clearly done by people who believe they've got a handle on how to fix this. Well, the fix is, how about you go and control your streets? Stop defunding the police. Stop pretending that you can give out free needles and it'll all be okay. People are getting killed with those policies. People aren't dying like that in Alabama on Juneteenth. I'm just telling you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got more of this when we get back. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got local, state, national covering down on all of the issues. And yeah, like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, somebody, by the way, asked me one day, who is the dude you keep referring to? Well, the voice dude. I mean,
yep.
Although it's funny, it was Jay Holland who was here last Friday subbing in for me.
And he said
knows the dude.
Jeff Davis.
It's Jeff Davis.
I wrote it down. I was like, I wrote it down on my paper. It says, Jeff Davis is the dude.
Could there be a more Alabama name than Jeff Davis?
I like it.
That's okay. All right. Hey, listen, we are still in Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
How, for the love, can we find something else to go wrong to inflame someone's passions? Story here from the Daily Mail. This one took place in England. Finally, something not in San Francisco or on our shores, right? Daily Mail, dated yesterday. A woke teacher has come under fire after telling a pupil that she should go to a different school for rejecting another classmate's claim that she identified as a cat. Boomer, this is next level, man. It's like the whole furry thing. Like, so, I mean, the idea that people go out in public and say, I'm a cat, don't you know? I mean,
come on, man. I mean, it is. It's next level.
It's
ridiculous.
It's bizarre. It's a sickness.
It is.
When did we start celebrating mental illness? Like, mental illness used to be the thing you go, oh, man. Get that guy some help. Or, oh, man, I feel bad for him. Or, oh, man, stay away from Crazy Bob. He thinks he's a cat, you know. But no, this pupil said she was made to stay after class by the teacher, who can be heard in a secret recording. Good for the student who recorded this conversation. Who can be heard in a secret recording calling her view that gender is binary just despicable and very sad. In a 3.5-minute recording. 3.5 minutes. You know what? I got news. This took place at a college. Rye College in East Sussex. I don't think they could have made me stay there for 3.5 minutes listening to someone tell me I was wrong for telling someone else that they're not really a cat. But 3.5-minute recording, the angry teacher, who was not being named yet, said they would report the girl to a senior colleague and she needed proper educational conversation about equality, diversity, and inclusion. You're not a cat. Just, all right, if there's any listeners out there of the two-legged variety who believe that you are actually a cat. You're not. The girl responds saying, I didn't say that. I just said if they want to identify as a cow or something, then they're just genuinely unwell. They're crazy. You were questioning their identity, the teacher replies. Where did you get this idea from that there's only two genders? Well, I went to school, and there's this thing called science.
Right.
I just said my opinion, the pupil replies. If I can respect their opinion, can't they respect mine? The teacher goes on to assert that there are lots of genders, including transgender and agender. What is agender?
Oh, man.
Do you know?
No. I think we said something one time, and it just went one ear and out the other of mine because, again, there's only two genders.
Well, we're just a pair of cis white males. What do we know?
Exactly.
Because apparently there's another one called agender. I think they make this crap up every day. I look at it and go, all right, first of all, you're being scolded at the college level by a teacher who swears that you need to respect the fact that someone believes they're a cat, they're just a cat.
No, because, again, two genders, and why are you trying to push this on me? Stop.
Yeah,
please. You don't need a litter box.
Well, you don't at all. All right, well, while we're just being weird, Daily Mail again. Except this one's back on U.S. shore. All right. Johns Hopkins University. Johns Hopkins. I mean, this is like the mecca of science and technology and medical training, and it's known worldwide. Prestigious Johns Hopkins University has now erased the word women from a newly produced inclusive language guide. Well, first of all, why did they feel the need to put out their inclusive language guide? I need to find my glossary. Where's that woke glossary that I had? So the Baltimore-based university, according to Daily Mail, is known for its excellence in education and research. And yet they put out their recent LGBTQ plus glossary and filled it with definitions aimed to be inclusive that reflect an evolving understanding of gender and sex. This is the medical university that is now recognizing that maybe there's not two genders. What is happening in our world? And I, by the way, that's not just a I'm making a joke question. How absolutely idiotic is it that one of the foremost medical schools in the world is implying that gender and sexual identity is fluid, and there really may be, in fact, more genders? But here's the thing that got everybody upset. And what I think is actually pretty funny in this is that it's the gay community lashing out at itself now because they didn't get what they wanted. It says the current definition of lesbian in the Johns Hopkins Inclusive Language Guide describes it as a non-man attracted to non-men. Says many feminists were particularly infuriated that the word woman was vanquished while their gay male counterparts are still referred to as men. So what happened was Johns Hopkins, you know what's happening? They don't know what to do. Here, put together a woke glossary. We need a woke glossary. But they keep changing the rules. I don't know what to say. Let's call them a non-man. It's all right. A non-man. So does that mean like if you're a dude who identifies as a woman, and then you decide you still like women, that makes you a lesbian? It went on to say, too, the word women is being erased in favor of woke terms like birthing people and menstruators. I kid you not. I'm reading this verbatim. It's highlighted. I'm holding it up to the camera as proof. In some cases, it says lesbian women have also complained about being bullied and shamed if they refuse to have sex with transgender women who maintained their organs. I cleaned that up for you, by the way. This is Johns Hopkins University, y'all. This is like finding out that, you know, the Pope doesn't believe in God. That's where we are right now with this, is that Johns Hopkins University deciding that there's multiple genders is really throwing some doubt upon the medical field in general. That's a leading medical training facility, a world-class institution. But they've erased the word women, at least from the gay side, because now lesbians are non-men who like non-men. All right, let me do a couple of phone calls real quick, and we're going to wind up having to wrap up. I mean, I got stuff, man. Like, I got more stuff. All right, Jeff from Indiana, line one. How you doing, buddy?
Meow.
Oh, my gosh. Did you just...
I identify as a truck driving calico who gets stuck in Nashville.
That is just wrong. Don't ever call into my show and meow again. I'll hang up on you.
No, you won't. You're too busy laughing.
But where does it end, Jeff?
Well, you got to remember, these people, they really need to be taken into protective custody because these people are mentally deranged. I'm thinking they're probably, you know, if they're not going to hurt themselves, they're hurting the country at least, you know. It's always funny that, you know, everybody who identifies with all this stuff is usually on the left side.
Yeah.
I don't see, you know, as a general rule, you know, a general statement, you know, it means it's more true than not. But the Democratic Party and the liberals in this country are insane. And, in a normal world, they wouldn't be allowed to vote because they don't have the cognitive ability to do it. Anybody who thinks they're a cat, I mean, come on. What else do they think? Joe Biden's cognitive?
I'm pretty sure there's not a furry caucus in the Republican Party, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that's pretty much sure. And, you know, and it's like with everything else. You know, things I don't understand. It's like the Republican Party is the party that freed the slaves.
Yeah.
The Democrat Party is the party basically of the Ku Klux Klan, but yet 90-some percent of the blacks vote for Democrats. It doesn't make any sense in a realistic world.
No, it doesn't.
Where did we lose out?
I don't know, brother. It's amazing. Hey, listen, I got to take one more call for the break. You be safe up there driving through the metropolitan area, all right?
Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, my gosh. God, that just makes me mad. Hey, line two, Clarence over in Huntsville. Clarence, what you up to, man? Did we lose Clarence? Clarence, are you there? Rats. Did we lose him? Oh, rats. All right, Clarence, if you get a chance, call back in. I'm going to go ahead and take this one to the finish line. You might want to know the Daily Caller is reporting that the American Medical Association, because, you know, the medical field is so reliable right now, the American Medical Association, this is dated yesterday, voted last week to recommend against using body mass index as the measure for healthy body weight because racism. Well, of course. Of course it is. It says, okay. It says, I'm sorry, I was making sure we didn't have a caller. The organization, the American Medical Association, claims that BMI, or body mass index, caused historical harm. What are we? And has been used for racist exclusion, according to its website. They also said the relative body shape is important to consider across race and ethnic groups, sexes. I got news. If you're fat, it doesn't matter what your skin color. Body mass index. If you're lean, it doesn't matter what your skin color, body mass index. If you don't want to use it, tell us what's more accurate. But don't say you can't use it because of racism. And they say BMI has a history of being used in relation to eugenics. I got news. Abortion was used in relation to eugenics. Thank you very much. Look at the history. But BMI has a history of being used in relation to eugenics, arguing that medical professionals should consider not using BMI as a measurement of healthy weight because of racism. Lastly, I'll say this. Adventures in Woke World. This has been a maddening section. Maddening. But Adventures in Woke World, yeah, the Biden administration's Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is moving forward on a plan right now to collect data on whether or not business loans are being given to LGBTQ and transgender-owned businesses. Pray tell, why would they need that data? There's only one reason you need that data. So they can come back and prove discrimination. But then you look at it and go, wait a minute. So now we have to give a loan based upon their sexual preferences or identities of the day? If they declare themselves to be a furry, do we have to give them a loan so they can buy more, you know, Purina cat chow? I don't know. But then this article goes on to point out from the Red State, if the ownership of the bank in question has religious objections, like a small town bank, locally owned, and they don't want to loan that, are we going to be in court again? Then again, it also says, aside from religious liberties, are we forcing banks to give loans to those who might otherwise be uncreditworthy? But hey, let's collect the data and make sure that we push the agenda because, you know, ESG and all that. All right, Adventures in Woke World. I ran long. Let's go to a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come back. Switching gears here on the last part of the day, the triple dipper, I'm moving to strategic ambiguity. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about China and Taiwan. How's all that work? We'll figure it out. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and Just plain right. Man, it is pouring down rain out there right now where we are. Pouring down rain. Scattered showers all throughout the listening area. So y'all be careful on the road as we get close to go-home time. I am trying to reboot my text messages, Boomer. Is your internet down? I got nothing booting over here. I can't get the audio up, the video up, nothing.
Oh, it's just my text messages service is in limbo right now. But everything else is good.
My website. Okay, I just came back on there. That's good, too. All right, y'all get to hear in real time as I try to click buttons and make things work. Anyway, let me say this real quick while we're waiting. If you heard the advertising during the break there, just know this. If you want to advertise on this show because we sound like the kind of radio show you want to be a part of with your business, then we'd love to talk to you. Right Side Radio is a standalone business. We are not owned by the stations that we're on. We just like any other business, then we have to also support ourselves. And the way we do that, in part, is by selling ads. You can't call the station and make it happen. You got to call us. And so what you need to do is go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And just click on the advertising section. And there's a spot there you'll see where it says you can send us a message. We will jump right on it and get right back to you. We'd love to have you on the team. So, yeah, if that's something you'd be interested in, we would be interested in talking to you. Go to rightsideradio.org, click on advertising, send us a message, and we'll jump right in there with you. All right.
The text messages.
We did. The text messages are broken at the moment. I mean, should I just go ahead and, like, shut her down and come back to it? My video came back up. That's
no,
a good thing.
No, it's not the internet. It's just them.
It's just text. Did we have so many texters? Because I was really about right in. We broke the internet. That's amazing. I'm going to kick it back on again, see what happens. It's a hoot, though. Technology is something else. I mean, we get in here, and what do? You just go and you do. But I was going to point out, though, again, that the listeners to this show, I mean, man, y'all make this happen. I'm just saying. I can sit here all day and talk into a can. What's that movie? Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? There's a feller in there. I'll pay you $20 talking to a can. We could sit here and talk into a can all day long. If y'all aren't there listening, it makes no difference whatsoever. So yeah, I have no idea how this happened. No idea how this. How do I have a radio show at this stage of my life? But I'm getting the biggest kick out of it, and it's because of y'all, man. I'm just telling you. So as we come on the air and do things like, you know, run the numbers on politics and adventures in woke world and all the stuff that we do, talk about jackassery and create all kinds of new terminologies we didn't know existed, like cacistocracy, I'm just telling you, folks, you guys are the ones making it happen, and we appreciate you more than you could ever possibly know. So we're going to come back in a second and lead off the third dipper, strategic ambiguity. What does that mean? There has been a policy in place now for the United States as to Taiwan for decades. It has been that we support you, but we're not going to go support you. So we openly support you, but we're not really supporting you. It's a weird dynamic. And what's funny is in the world of foreign policy, words matter. How you sit at the table matters. Who gets off the plane first matters. Who's there to greet you at the plane side matters. All these things roll together. Every nuance is examined. What did he mean by that? Why did he choose that word? Strategic ambiguity, China, Taiwan. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.